I do have a mic. I was going to say, I just realized we never did a mic check, so hopefully it works. Woohoo, it does. So thank you, Brentford. That's beautiful. And, you know, it's interesting. I have ringtones for people who I talk to all the time so that I can know who's calling, and it makes my life a lot easier. So anyway, Reverend Karen says amazing things. And speaking of Reverend Karen and Hugh, I just want to give you an update on them. They are doing fabulously. The doctors have given Hugh great reports. He's feeling good, and they are just, they are thrilled with how things are going. So thank you all for your prayers. They are working. But keep them up. It's always good. Just keep going. And John, can you hit all the lights for me? I'm the one that needs to see everybody in the house. Thank you. All right. So welcome. This is my favorite day of the year because I get to do fun things. So today we're gonna have a little fun today. And last year, the theme for the year for the Centers for Spiritual Living was about having a values-based spiritual living. But this year is the 100th anniversary of the Science of Mind. Isn't that amazing? 100 years. So of our teaching. So we're celebrating this milestone with the whole theme for the year is about the Science of Mind. We are going to really get down to the basics, to the principles, so that by the time this year is done, you'll have it. It's going to be great. So Dr. Ken Gordon, who is the spiritual leader for the entire of the Centers for Spiritual Living, always has a fun thing that he puts in one of the outlines at the beginning of the year. And so this is what he said, and I just loved it. The Science of Mind is the operating manual to life. Isn't that great? Operating, because I have often thought, it doesn't come with one. How? Why? Well, now we have one. And he says, it's like we were given the most marvelous computer in the world, one whose capacity is infinite. Most of us were taught by our teachers and our parents to use it as a calculator, or at best, a word processor. Without the operating manual, we use it for what we think it can do with what we've proven for ourselves. The Science of Mind opens avenues and programs we haven't even thought about. If used according to the manual, it has the capacity to broaden our lives infinitely. So this year, with the Science of Mind principles as our theme for the whole year, I promise you that you will have an understanding of the operating manual, and it will indeed broaden lives infinitely. So I always use whatever's going on in the world, and because, you know, the world is always telling us something. And so whenever there's a holiday, I like to incorporate it. So for Christmas, it's about what are you going to give birth to this next year? What do you want to see reborn? And then on New Year's Eve, it's when you look at the year and you say, how'd it go? Am I happy with how it went? Am I not happy with how it went? What do I want to let go of, and what do I want to carry into the new year? And then now is the time we give some legs to what we want to carry into the new year. This is the fresh platform, the new start. And for me, it's a great joy. So the title of today's talk is Clean Endings and Fresh Starts. So clean endings. There's a Seneca, the Indian tribe Senecas have a have a quote. Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end. Right? It's interesting. And Joseph Campbell says, we must be willing to get rid of the life we've planned so that we have the life that is waiting for us. The old skin has to be shed before a new one can come. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that beautiful? And it really is. If you're willing to take advantage of the symbolism available in this season, that is what happens to us. We can shed that old skin so that we can have something new. Now, Ralph Waldo Emerson, who was a favorite of Ernest Holmes, and he studied Emerson as he put together his understanding of the operating manual. Emerson says, finish each day and be done with it. Now, most of us don't necessarily do that. At least I don't. But I don't know anybody who does that every single day. So finish each day and be done with it. You have done what you could. Some blunders and absurdities. I love that, absurdities. Some blunders and absurdities have crept in. Forget them as soon as you can. Tomorrow is a new day. You shall begin it serenely with too high a spirit to be encumbered by your old nonsense. Isn't that great? My old nonsense. So the other thing, when I first took the Roots class, we study Emerson, and he has, I believe it's in Self-Reliance. It's something that I use all the time, and it creates a horrifyingly vivid imagery in my mind. So if you're like my mind, buckle up. He asks, why drag about this corpse of your memory? And he talks about constantly looking over our shoulder at the past. So each day is indeed a new day. And we teach that all the time. We teach that each day is a new choice, each moment is a new choice, and what are we going to do with it? And that the present often reflects what we've made with our choices in the past. And we're always choosing, whether we're conscious, awake, and aware of it or not. Always, always, always choosing. And it's interesting, we have known, actually, since Socrates, and I think since the consciousness of humankind, what science is now beginning to prove. So Emma Fox says, each day is a new life. Each moment is a really new life. What we call memories are really present thoughts. What we call anticipations are really present thoughts. No one has ever lived in any moment except the present. Now that is, you know, science has begun to prove that. Science really knows that actually, when we think about the present, it's happening inside of us. Like, it's real in this moment. That's how our brain interprets it. It doesn't interpret it as yesterday. It doesn't interpret it as tomorrow. Our brain thinks now. It's happening now. So we figured that out a long time ago, and science is just catching up. Anyway, so to have clean endings, if you think about terms like loose ends or frayed, it's that kind of unfinished. If you have a loose end, have you ever had a loose end on something, and you pick at it, and like the whole sweater falls apart. I have a couple of sweaters that were like that. It's like, ooh, one little snag, and it's just falling apart. And there's also, when there's something that's a loose ending, we pick at it. Now, I don't bite my nails, but I pick at them. And if there's a little bump, if there's a little, I just cannot leave it alone. I am a picker at things that are just not quite right. And that is a pretty good description of my life. If it's just not quite right, I just keep picking at it. So we have a minister friend in Florida, and she talked about when she was candidating for her job there. She said, there are a lot of ministers who will come. They'll be great ministers. They'll give you great talks. They'll teach. They'll be fabulous. But how I operate is I am always looking. I am always learning. I'm always trying to incorporate something new in my life. If you pick me, what will happen is I'll take you along for the ride. And so that, for me, is a large part. You will never hear me talk about something that I either haven't done or I'm doing right now. So at the end of the year, I always begin to look. Before I do the Burning Soul Bowl ceremony, I have already begun to look and say, what about this last year worked? What about this last year didn't work? And I will tell you, for the first time in a very, very long time, I was not happy with what I saw. I was kind of shocked. When I asked the question, what are your best memories? I went, And I realized, that really began to be one of those things I picked at. And what I realized was I also pulled out my intentions for last year. And one of the things that I set an intention for was to stop doing something that has always been to my detriment. And that is, I push myself like a crazy woman. I just push and push and push and push and push. There is no good enough, because I come from a family that says what you are is what you produce. So focused on production. So I thought, I'm not going to do that this year. I'm going to just be okay with who lives inside my skin. I am going to learn to not push. So what do you know about not? Right? So I managed to not push, but I didn't do anything else, right? Because I hadn't set an intention. If I'm gonna not, then what am I gonna do? So I kind of lived my life in neutral last year. I had breakfast with Jane yesterday, and I said, I felt like my life was just a dial tone. And she said, you know, when I'd ask you how you are, you'd just go, okay. Nothing more, okay. Well, that, for me, is the power of looking at your intentions. And so as I am creating a clean ending, I had to look at that, because always when we have an ending, we have to look at it and tell the truth. So I have found that we all have ways that we end things, right? So, and all of us do some of them at one point in time or another, but we generally happen to have themes. So sadly, this isn't a theme I use anymore, but for a long time, one of my themes was just blow it up. You're gonna just hang on to it until you blow it up, then there's no turning back. Sometimes we will, what I call, quit and split. It's just, I'm gonna dump you before you can do anything to me. I am out of here before anything bad can happen. And it's interesting, a minister that I studied with 30 years ago or more used to say, if you're in relationships, there are stayers and runners. And usually stayers hook up with runners, and it just never works. So I recommend stayers, pick another stayer, and you'll just sit and stare at each other till you work it out. And she said, if you're a runner, you'll both hit the door jamb at the same time, be stuck until you have to work it out. So, you know, there's that quit and split mentality. So there's also cling to the familiar. So I used to think it was Anne Lamott that said this, but as I was doing my research for the talk, it actually is David Foster Wallace, who's a professor and a writer. And he says, everything I ever let go of has claw marks. You know that? Where you just think, I am not letting go. If it works, don't fix it. Or even if it doesn't work, don't fix it. I am not letting go. There are some people who have, they just want a clean slate. So we kind of forget about the past if we're just going, just clean slate. That's okay, but you don't get the lessons from the past when that's your process. Then there's denial. If I don't look at it, it's just not true. I've done my share of that in my life. And one of the three jokes I can tell is, how do you tell a metaphysician in hell? It's the people walking around going, it's not hot and I'm not here. So that's kind of how denial looks. Then for some of us, we do make conscious choices. And you have to look at how you make them, however, and what's underlying it. So whether you're having a knot, looking at what's really under that. Some of us float aimlessly. You ever had that one? That's what I did last year. How are you doing? Okay. Right? Because I didn't pick. I just said, not that. Just be okay. So look at how you end things. It's important because it will help you. If you understand how you end things, it will help you when you come to an ending to be able to really walk away with it clean, walk away with a fresh start. Because it's like, the best example I can give you is a construction one. So if we pull up this carpet, and there's all kinds of junk that comes up when you rip it up, and maybe some little tack things. And if you just roll down a new carpet without cleaning it, you will walk on it and there'll be bumps and lumps, and they'll be sharp enough to pop right through this carpet before too long. Cleaning out your foundation is an important piece before you begin again. And what Ernest Holmes talks about hidden facts in a great book called New Design for Living, in a chapter actually called Facing Facts. Because when the unconscious drives the bus, then we are indeed a victim to what Thomas Troward calls the law of averages. If we aren't conscious, awake, and aware, and choosing what we want, then it's just the averages. X number of people will wreck their car, X number of people will get divorced, X number of people will whatever, fill in the blank, get the flu this year, whatever it may be. Because you just float aimlessly and you are a part of the law of averages when your unconscious mind drives the bus. So he says, probably the most difficult of all facts to discover and to face are those within ourselves, to recognize within our own thought the way it has been negatively productive. In all probability, we are not even aware of what we have been doing, what we have been and are now doing to ourselves. We have to have the courage to look in the mirror at our negative experience and discover the thought that corresponds to it. Perhaps we discover that we have a circle of limitations that we've drawn around ourselves, across which we seem to be unable to move. How many circles have we drawn? What kind of circles are they? Do they relate to health, abundance, happiness? This we have to discover for ourselves. In any event, we face the task of finding in our patterns a negative thought so that we can proceed to do something about it. So he has always said, and one of the quotes I love that he said is, we have to look the discordant fact in the face. But more importantly, he says, we have to acknowledge the condition, but we don't have to give it power over us. And that's the key. We don't have to give any condition in our life in this moment power over us. That's, for me, the beauty of this program, of this philosophy, that we are always at choice. So I talk a lot about, to get to someplace new, you have to know where you are, right? Because otherwise you can't map out your route properly. So Krishnamurti says, if you begin to understand what you are without trying to change it, then what you are undergoes a transformation. And for me, that means judgment. Mindfulness is really about being in the present moment without judgment. Because if you think about if you listen to the voice in our minds, it's frequently not real kind. Sometimes it is, but it's oftentimes, and especially if we're looking at change, because change is difficult. So there's a man named Jason Baldwin, who's a essay playwright, poet, social critic, and he says, know from whence you came. If you know from whence you came, there are absolutely no limitations to where you can go. And Maya Angelou says, you can't really know where you're going until you know where you've been. So how you end things impacts how you begin things. And so what do we do? What do we want to carry forward? What do we want to discard? It's clearing the decks. It's cleaning things up. So it's an awareness of where I am to plan the route to the next destination. Here's the toughie. Forgive yourself. I will tell you, I had to do a little work on, when I looked at myself last year, I had to do a lot of work, actually, on saying, it's okay. You can forgive yourself and move on and make a different choice this year. And then let it go. You forgive yourself, you move on, you let go. And then you can finish each day and be done with it. And you don't have that corpse that you're mulling around while you look over your shoulder. So awareness, we learn from it, we forgive ourselves and others when necessary, and move on. That way we can have the fresh start. So here's a spoiler alert about this next section. Fresh starts also require conscious choice and action. I had originally said work. But really, that's not it. It's just, it requires conscious choice and action. Sometimes that requires courage. But, so there's a quote that was always, when I looked at it, attributed to Alice in Wonderland. And I'm sure Lewis Carroll has a sort of a similar thing in Alice in Wonderland. But the quote, the exact quote, is George Harrison from a song called Any Roads. And the quote is, if you don't know where you're going, any road will take you there. And Yogi Berra has been known to say, if you don't know where you're going, you'll end up someplace else. He's a brilliant man. So just like it's important to look at how you end, it's also important to look at how you begin, because that makes a difference as well. So are you one of the people that just jumps in and thinks about it later, ask questions later, just go? That's rarely me. but I know a lot of people who do that. This is me, however. And I've said this at work more times than I can say. It's better to ask for forgiveness than permission. Are you one of those neat people that needs the facts? You know, you just have to have the facts, just the facts, nothing but the facts. Well, Einstein said in a letter that he wrote, I think only daring speculation can lead us further and not accumulation of facts, from one of the brightest men in recent history. So, are you one who, like, just like everything I let go has claw marks? Sometimes the new things have claw marks, because what that gives you on your start is furrows when you have your heels in there, and it's, you're just being pulled into the future. When we moved to Salt Lake, I will tell you there were furrows from my heels from here to Salt Lake, because I didn't want to go, and it was one of the best things that turned out to have happened to me. So do you go kicking and screaming, or do you just stumble into things? Some people do. Some people are people-pleasing. Why do I do what I do? Because you want me to. Do I want me to? Maybe yes, maybe no. But those of us who are people-pleasers are just, you think this is a good idea for me? It must be. Or do you go with your gut? Are you one of those people that says, that's what my gut says? So for me, it's a combination of that and then being conscious, awake, and aware, and making the choices that you are that you can make because you've thought it through and you want to make them. Now, I will tell you that there have been times in my life where I've said, I'm in a grumpy mood. I'm conscious, I'm awake, I'm aware of that, and I'm in a grumpy mood. That's it. I'm in a grumpy mood. But I know it, I make a choice, and I usually get over very quickly, because then you go, well, that's just dumb, right? I mean, but it doesn't take me long to get to the point from, I put my grumpy pants on this morning and I'm not taking them off, by God, to taking them off and putting on different ones. So, it's about being aware and making that conscious choice. And Ernest Holmes also says, we can have no understanding of divine compassion unless we ourselves first exercise compassion. The very judgment by which we judge others becomes self-judgment. Ooh, I hate that. Always hated that. But it's true. If you think about it, it's true. And he says, it's easy to sit back in life and realize why we aren't where we ought to be. Such speculation on the past is psychologically, and I love this, metaphysically vicious. Why am I not where I am? Why did I create this? Why is this happening to me? It's like, conscious, awake, aware, do the steps and move on. So it's impossible for us. We teach about about mental equivalence, and it's impossible for us to accept anything new unless we build a mental equivalent to accept it, because we can only accept as much as our consciousness believes that we can have. So our job is to decide what we mentally can and are willing to encompass. So I love the fact that Ernest Holmes often calls the divine spirit that's calling us as an echo. It's an echo of the spirit. Sometimes he'll refer to it as whispering in our ear. So for me, the process of getting a clean and fresh start is listening to the whispering. It's listening to the echo. Now, there's a thing called wing walking that was done during the barnstorming years. It was on a biplane, and the guys would get out there and they would be on the wings, and the planes would do barrel rolls and they'd be on the wings. And then they'd go from one place on the wing to another. So in wing walking, it is essential that you hold on to this strut and this strut. And if you're gonna move, you cannot let go of one until you strongly are in touch with the other. It's good for wing walking, but it's not necessarily good for life. We have to be willing to trust. We have to be willing to step into the unknown. And that's not always easy. So the Upanishads say, as is your desire, so is your will. As is your will, so is your deed. As is your deed, so is your destiny. Right? So because of what I did when I looked at last year, I said, okay, I have to decide to have a different year this year. And so how do I do that? And I will tell you that I was led back to a book called The Desire Map by Danielle Laporte. And she's really a fabulous person for being able to help you build what she calls soul deep desires. It's those desires of your heart rather than somebody else's good idea for you, rather than what you think you should or shouldn't do. It's because we teach that those soul deep desires are those things that you were sent here to do. Those things that are tugging at your heart, just pulling you along. So she says the question to ask is how, what will I do to feel the way I want to feel? What will I do to feel the way I want to feel? Because from her perspective, feelings drive the manifestation process. Feelings are the engine of creation. So if we think about what do I want to feel, well, scientists think that most of us have a relatively limited, what they call emotional IQ. And sometimes they say there's really three easy emotions to recognize: happy, sad, and ticked off. And the rest are pretty nuanced, and we have to learn what they are. So after having spent a year going, how are you doing? Okay. I thought, what am I going to do? What will I do to feel the way I want to feel? So Jane and I had breakfast yesterday, and I brought this, and I said, this is what I'm going to do this year. She has a book, and she talks about each day and each month, and at the beginning of each month, she has a series of things that you might want to feel: accomplished, articulate, divinely inspired, full, incredible, lion-hearted, magnificent, mindful. So at the beginning of each month, there are new ones. Audacious, that one's fun. Grateful, guided, surrendered, sometimes not so fun. Understood, it's a good one. So it's looking at, she gives you prompts to think about, what do I want to feel? Because a lot of times we just, you know, I really had to stretch. I really had to look hard to say, what do I want to feel this year? And one of them, and that really I've decided that she lists, is soul satisfied. If I had to pick one, that'd probably be it. Soul satisfied. So each day she has in your to-dos a word. This one's firecracker. But there's a different soul prompt each day. Today my heart feels, or what do I want more than anything? Then your to-do list, and she'll give you on your to-do list things like leave room for magic, work for love, three things to do, and things to stop doing, and things you're grateful for. So it's an interesting way to look at each day. And so Jane and I have decided we're going to do this together, and we're going to help hold each other accountable. Because if it's very easy to get so caught up in your life, you go, yeah, that's really good, and I didn't do squat today, or yesterday, or last week, or the week before. So really looking at, how do I want to feel, and what will I do to get me there? What will I do to get me there? She says, core desired feelings are generative feelings. They originate deep within us and make themselves known when we take the time to listen. And that behind every desire is a feeling, and your feelings lead you to your soul. Your soul is the destination, and your feelings are the road signs directing you. Because the soul always desires that we reveal our true nature. So she uses the word soul very different from how Ernest Holmes uses it. So just be aware that in this particular instance, it's a different one that from a traditional science of mind. So the first thing that she has you do is set some intentions. But how do I want to feel? What are my core values? That's always important for me to look at. What are my core values? How do I live them? How do I apply them? What are the difference between my aspired values and my lived values? Sometimes that's not fun to look at either, but it helps you keep going. And where can I put in correction? So that's being conscious, awake, and aware as you set your intentions. And last time I talked about integrity, and the book was talking about three things: discover who I am, claim who I am, and live who I am. And that's beautiful when it comes to looking at intentions as well. Because the voice of God is always whispering in our ear. And if we are willing to listen, it is much easier. So in that first part of process of discovering who I am, what do I value, what do I believe, what's important to me, and then I love this, what's precious and what's sacred. So those kinds of questions get asked before you set an intention. And then we teach this as well, you have to claim it. That's the mental equivalent, right? Nothing happens unless we have the mental equivalent to be able to accept it. And then it's a process of believing, also in my opinion, that we're worthy. So in this process, being conscious, awake, and aware of what we think, what we feel, what we want. Now, Reverend Cheryl, you have them in a specific order. 10, can you give me your 10? It's 10, isn't it? Amen. And I would get all those, but I never have. She has them right there in order. I love that. And if you want to know how to live that way and manifest them, then that's the woman to see. She rocks it. So we have to be willing to claim this. What do I want to feel and what am I willing to do to get there? And we have to then believe we're worthy of having it. And sometimes for us, that's a little bit of a challenge. And truthfully, I really believe that if you're thinking about that which your soul desires, you'll have that bubble up, that worthiness will come to the surface. So living who I am, that's your time to act. We say treat and move your feet. Now there's a paradox with treat and move your feet because we say you gotta take action. You can't just sit around and wait for the universe to dump it in your lap. You gotta treat and move your feet. Well, then there's the paradoxical side of that that says you need to be willing to stay open, you need to be willing to stay in the flow, you need to be willing to believe and be willing to hear, see, and accept something better. This or something better, we so often say, because that's a part of the paradox. Treat, move your feet, but stay open and willing. And then the toughie. You must make a commitment. And sometimes it's hard to make a commitment. We kind of make a, yeah, I sort of want to do this. A commitment really is, I am going to do this. I use this all the time. There's a difference in breakfast between the commitment of the chicken and the commitment of the pig, right? Big time difference. So what am I really willing to commit to? That choice is crucial. If we are willing to say, I commit to doing this, what else do you need? For me personally, I need to have some help with accountability. I have a trainer who comes to my house twice a week. I would love to back out of it many a night, but she has made plans to come to my house. So I am often, it's like, okay, I will just leave your desk the way it is, go home and do it. Because I need that kind of accountability. Jane and I talking about, let's talk about this periodically, often periodically, so that we can hold each other accountable to staying focused on that. That's a part of how you can stay a commitment. So the questions, again, how do you want to feel? You discover who you are, your values, your soul deep desires, you set clear intentions, you create your mental equivalents, and then you commit to them. That's really, for me, the process. And as I've gone through it this year, I have really looked at that in a fresh new way. So that's my challenge to you all this year, is to really ask yourself, what do I want to feel? And what am I willing to do to get there? And let those feelings be like the 10 that Cheryl gave us, or whichever other ones your heart allows to bubble up and be your driving force. So I always do something each year. Last year we did a white stone ceremony. This year we have a word stone ceremony. So what I'm going to do is have everybody come up. There are two bags. One bag has a quote or a saying or an affirmation, and one has just a word. And I find that if I have those, it's amazing how often those words that I pull or that quote that I pull can have some accuracy. Not always. For some people, they look at it and go, yeah, whatever. But it's just fun. So I'm going to ask you to just spend a little time and look at what you want. What do you want? How do you want to feel? And what are you willing to do to get there? And then I'm going to ask you each to just come up. You can take one out of each bag. If you weren't here for Burning Bowl and you want to look at some of those questions, they're here as well. So please, we'll just start at the front row. Y'all come on up and we'll just cycle through. Close your eyes and grab.
Close your eyes.
No cheating. I did it at Lake Havasu last weekend, and there were some of the people going, yeah, I don't like this one. Actually, even though Ralphie's picking one, I bought one, which you're more than welcome to. I bought one special for him. The more I like people, or the more I know people, the more I like my dogs. So when you draw your stone, take it back to your seat, look at it, and see whether or not that has any way to apply for you. And ask yourself, can they help take me to a new place? So the last thing I'll add while y'all are picking up your stones, and that is, all of what I said, I truly, at the very depths of my soul, believe, but I also believe it is equally important to follow this. Beyond a wholesome discipline, be gentle with yourself.
You might want to mention that book slowly. Mm-hmm.
So the book that I'm talking about is called The Desire Map. It's by Danielle Laporte. I didn't give Dora a heads up. She will probably slap me. Right, Mark? Because I didn't give her a heads up. It's called The Desire Map. It's by Danielle Laporte. So you can, you can get a code to get it for free. Well, isn't that just fabulous? On her website, there's actually, I believe, there's a place where you can download it for free. Yeah.
I know that I can, if somebody gives me their email, I can.
Okay, so if you give Cheryl your email, she'll get it to Chris, and Chris will tell you how to get the book for free. But there is, on her website, all kinds of cool resources. And her website is just her name, DanielleLaporte.com. So, The Desire Map. It's a pretty fun way to think about how to move forward. Oh, a word, absolutely. You gotta have one of each.
This is a big one.
I know. There's some big ones in there. There's also some what are called sea beans. Sea beans, great big seed pods that they've written on. The company that I get them always laughs because, like, oh, here's the lady who buys a lot of stones, but only every couple years. So I usually call them and go, this order is way too big to put on your website. Can I just fax or scan this to you? And I'm like, yes, fine. Do you guys have another song?
Yeah.
Oh, that's what I thought. Okay. Not just the grateful one. One from each bag. One bag that says, woohoo! And one that says, fabulous. I like the woohoo bag. I say this often too. 1 year I got the word perseverance. And I said, put that right back. Put that right back. I do not want perseverance. So I always have that in the bag, perseverance. Because it was really actually a great word for me for that year. I didn't think it was in the beginning, but the person who I work with said, try to persevere to be happy this year. And I thought, well, yeah. And given that I was trying to figure out, I was so focused, it was at a time in my life where truly the only thing I know is what you are is what you produce. Do, 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 do. And he was like, just stop. Have fun. And I went, fun? Fun is producing. So it was good to have perseverance that year. Yeah, these things back here, just if you weren't at the ceremony. So one thing that you may or may not have gotten, if you did get one of these, or you have yet to get one, there are three blank, clear hearts. There you go. Now that you got one. So that's two out of the three. The blank clear heart is for you to just take away and say, am I really, my job this year is to look at what is my heart's desire. Right? The words are fun, but and then Jane and I each got a little heart like this because we said, we need to have something really visible to remember. So you can't have this one. Now, if you really want to get hardcore with setting your intentions, I have a form that I used. I started Science of Mind in the Terry Cole Whitaker days. Anybody remember Terry Cole Whitaker? She was like she and Robert Schuller were like the TV king and queen of the New Thought movement in their day. And I started with her, and she still has a book that I love and will love probably forever, titled being, What You Think of Me is None of My Business. None of my business. But there really was a great lesson in that whole time where we really focused on intentions. Perhaps we were a little harsh at the time. We've softened since then, but. We're almost done. Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do is to just sit down, take a deep breath, maybe close your eyes, and really, whether it's the word on your stone or the quote or something altogether different, but take a deep breath and ask yourself, what do I want to feel and what am I willing to do to get there? What do I want to feel? What am I willing to do to get there? Remember that the greatest good that you can conceive should be affirmed as part of your daily experience. It's a quote from Ernest Holmes, as a daily experience. And then ask yourself, with your actions, does this move me closer or farther away from my heart's desire? So I will say, commit to remembering those things and have a fabulous 2018. Thank you. So for my closing prayer, I'm going to use this. I pull this out every few years, too. It's called The Vow by Debbie Ford. And they're printed versions of this sitting over on the altar where we put in our prayer requests so that you can have one as well. So I will just use this as my prayer. And then the Bradfords will come up and have a song for us. So, it's called The Vow. My life is worth a billion blessings to all those I meet on my journey. I am the heaven and all that exists in the sky above. I am the vastness of my greatest thought and the infinite power that sources and sustains the entire universe. On this day, I will remember who I am, what I am here for, and why I choose the experiences that will come on my path this year. Today, I promise to leave the smallness of my darkest thoughts and melt with open arms into the never-ending, all-powerful love of my highest self. Today, I surrender into the open arms of 2018, allowing each day of the upcoming year to surprise, to comfort, and to nourish my soul's deepest desires. I vow to return to the spark of the divine and use my power to light up the world. This year, I will give to others what I want back for myself. If I want love, I will find ways to love each and every person I come across. If I want peace, I will think peaceful thoughts, say peaceful words, and pray for peace for all of those who are living in chaos, at times including myself. If I want success, I will work diligently to help those around me succeed. I will stay focused and do my absolute best and seek excellence in everything I do. If I want respect, I will begin by respecting life and all that comes with it. I will respect those around me and those who work hard to make this planet a better place. I will respect the earth, my body, my past, and the gifts that I hold. I will surrender judgment for reverence. In 2018, I trust that what I give to the world will be given back to me. And so it is. Yeah.